Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Dr. Psych Mom Show. Today, I am going to be talking about how there's no amount of time. I know you're begging for time with your avoidant husband, and there is no amount of time that is going to ever be enough, and why that is, and what to do about it, how to understand it, so that you could ask for something that may actually be more along the lines of what you are yearning for. Before that, I must tell you to subscribe. Most recent subscriber episode was on love languages and the people who condescend to love languages. And the next one that's going to be coming up is if you've always been a goofball, here's how your marriage may be frustrating in later years. So this is the guys that take on that persona of the one who's always funny and goofy and joking around and how later on their marriages may change and what to do about it if it changes for the worse. So obviously you guys know that there are preoccupied attachment men and women, but as I've said many times, there are more preoccupied or anxious attachment women than men. There are more avoidant men than women. And if you are a preoccupied attachment man, you can listen to this episode, certainly, and the way that you want to shift it in your mind is there, and I've talked about this a lot, is kind of there's no amount of crappy sex that makes up for good sex because your avoidant or sex-negative partner, female partner, may be giving the equivalent of shitty quality time, but in the bedroom. So you can still gain from hearing this episode. Or, I mean, you got like a million other ones to listen to, so you could just listen to those. So, in the common situation where it is an avoidant attachment man, and you can go listen to my podcast on avoidant husbands for more, and a preoccupied attachment woman, this is the classic. She is following him all around all the time, asking for closeness, asking for cuddles, asking for time spent together, asking for him to take days off work, to do special things, to take vacations as a family and couples vacations, asking him to do date nights, getting the date night babysitters, getting everything ready, sending him cute little texts during the day. And you could say, oh, that sounds great, unless you're an avoidant person listening to this, which I don't know why you would be, but somebody may be making you listen to it. And that would be your preoccupied attachment wife. But either way, it sounds completely overwhelming. And you could just think about this, even if you're a preoccupied attachment person. Imagine your kid was doing that to you all day. You love your kid, but it's like, give me some space. I need to do other life activities. I need to go to the bathroom by myself. We can't just cuddle and play chutes and ladders all day, every day, right? So that's how the avoidant attachment partner feels about the extensive amount of time and connection and meme sending and date nights, etc. And so what are you usually asking for? You usually say something that's wrong, and it's well-intentioned, but it's wrong. You say, I just want to spend time with you. Don't you want to spend time together? Don't you miss me? Don't you? You spend so much time at work. You spend so much time with your friends. Why don't you ever ask to spend time with me? See, it's all about time, time, time. Bullshit, right? When was the last time you got to have a day with him? All right, what about a day where you didn't have sex, right? So you could be like, oh yeah, we were really close when we went to Hawaii and we had sex all day. You know shit, right? I mean, because he's getting exactly what he wants. Not in any malicious way, but just he's happy. You're having sex with him all day. You're probably drinking, whatever. How about a day where it was quality time with no sex? And like all you preoccupied attachment men that are still listening, by the way, the preoccupied attachment woman, especially the younger ones, like under 40, 45, they are having sex like all the time. They're doing anything to make this guy pay attention to them, and he still won't. So remember, not everybody who listens to this show is in a sexless marriage. Many, many preoccupied attachment women, especially the younger ones, are still having a very active sex life, and some of the older ones too. Remember, you could read my post that a rejected partner stays in the limerent stage. And that's not something you're supposed to do to manipulate somebody, as I talk about in another podcast on Inspiring Dread, but it has to come from a place of like real. Like if somebody's really, really anxious about whether or not you love them, then they'll stay in a limerent stage. There is no preoccupied attachment man that can create that because the woman is avoidant. She's not preoccupied. So anyway, but the point being, back to the topic at hand, I am just inclusive. I like to include everybody, even the preoccupied men that I know are listening to this. But back to the women, you're begging for time with him, right? When has it gone well? I'll tell you, the first couple years when he was still in the honeymoon stage, so he was Mr. Romantic. And as I discussed in my podcast on responsive romance, romance and sex drive are both super high in the honeymoon stage. Then they go away. And, you know, somewhat, they don't fully drop to nothing, obviously, but that drunken, giddy, obsessive stage goes away. And that's biology. And so for men, usually the romance drops. And for women, usually the sex drops. Again, not to nothing, but it drops significantly. And you just don't have that obsessive, like, love goggles feeling. So the last time that you got like a full day with him that was like super awesome was either a bunch of sex or it was honeymoon stage. So what is it that you're begging for? You're begging to have like a full day where you hang out. A lot of the time he's on his phone. He's still taking work calls. He also brings up hanging out with possibly some other people. Got to get some exercise in there. You know, got to get the hobby. Like, it's like, what are you begging for? Does it ever go well? Because a lot of women in this situation are like, no, actually, it doesn't go well. I beg him to take a day off of work and spend it with me and the family. And he spends most of it almost trying to get away from me in a sense. There's some naps. There's this. There's that. When does he perk up? Oh, if we have sex. Then he's close, but besides from that, he's not. So is this really what you want then? No. You want him to actually empathize, have like a real conversation, look in your eyes, give you kind of a reassurance and a connected feeling. You don't need 8 hours for that. You don't need like 2 hours for that. So I know, obviously, you could say, well, I'm a quality time person. Let me tell you, a preoccupied attachment person, they don't even know if they're a quality time person. Like, you don't even really know. All you mean is basically, like, I need reassurance constantly. That's, like, what that means. I know that because it's the same as when I was a younger woman, how I felt, too. Oh, if you get enough time with the boyfriend, then, of course, you know, then somehow you're going to feel magically better. But you don't, right? If they're an avoiding guy, you don't. You kind of end up feeling worse. These are the younger women that I work with that they're trying and to chase these guys they're obviously super avoidant. And when they get them and they get to hang out with them for a whole day, it's like barely anything anyway. Now, the older women who do the same thing, they usually think it's like the kid's fault or something, or like his job, or like, you know, something like that, or his hobbies. No, it's him. He's not prioritizing you. You would feel better if you had an hour of connected conversation than 8 hours during which he's basically, it's like you are the skunk chasing, you're Pepe Le Pew chasing his girlfriend, and he's the girlfriend's skunk that's always trying to wriggle out of the grasp of the attacking skunk who just wants to smother her with kisses. But you are the attacking skunk there. Not flattering, but true, right? So what do you want to do instead of this, instead of setting yourself up to fail by asking for endless time, which ends up going sideways anyway, unless you have sex? And then afterwards, you feel like, well, you were just close because we had sex. And then you say that in couples counseling. And God's honest truth, that's true. Because he's happy. And that's a way that he finds it able to connect. And without that, like, you can't just give sex, give sex, give sex, and then you don't get anything back. That's not fair. The same exact way as I say, you can't just give, you know, and not want any sex, right? So on the other side, both of those things are true. In a healthy relationship, you want to have sex and you also want to have emotional closeness, you know, in other ways too. And if the avoidant partner, your avoidant husband, will only give closeness via sex, that's not cool because that's not how you only want to feel connected. So what do you do instead? Well, first of all, you get into couples counseling. You get into couples counseling, by the way, with somebody who's sex positive, because otherwise your avoidant partner is never going to feel like the entire relationship is being addressed. They're just going to think that this is only on your side and this person is just going to gang up and harass him even more to take time off with you, and he spends so much time anyway, etc., etc. And you'll never be happy, whatever. The reason you've never been happy is because he's never done the thing you wanted. Just very, very hard for him. He was raised in a house where nobody talked about emotions and everybody was basically very independent starting at a young age. They were supposed to go play, go do a hobby, go do some extracurricular, just kind of not ask for any comfort. So you need to get into couples counseling that focuses on this, on increasing his ability with emotional closeness and also individually, you, and I'm telling you this directly, should work on your own ability to tolerate aloneness and to be independent, because it takes two to tango. So you're harassing him to spend more time with you. It's not only because you want to be close because you love him so much because you're such a good partner. It's also because you're an anxious person in the relational sphere. And the way that you were raised was you could never fully get a parent's attention, but sometimes you could. So the avoidant person, and you can go back to my attachment styles overview for more on this, but the attachment baby, the avoidant attachment baby is kind of told, go play, go play, go play all the time. But the baby who develops preoccupied attachment, they sometimes get love and comfort and warmth, but they can never tell when it's going to happen. So they become hypervigilant and stay very, very close to the mother in case this is a moment that the mother's light will shine down upon them. In the avoidance situation, the mother's light does not shine down upon them. She's busy with other stuff. She's not very comfortable with closeness and intimacy. But the preoccupied attachment person, which is you, the woman that I'm addressing here, this hypothetical amalgam of all of the preoccupied attachment women in the world, your mother or father or whoever, they did give this radiant, warm affection, but you could never predict when. Because maybe they were depressed and sometimes it lifted, or maybe they were drinking, but that only started at night, and sometimes they were okay and they didn't. Or it was like when your brother, who was very difficult, wasn't in the house, or it was when your father, who your mother didn't get along with, traveled, or whatever the case may be. There were these moments. So you're always instinctively, subconsciously trying to recreate these moments. But remember, you're trying to recreate them with your avoidant attachment partner, who doesn't even know what these moments are supposed to look like, that thinks that, you know, every single romantic movie or romantic song is like complete and utter bullshit and nobody's ever really felt like that in real life. And you felt like that for like the entirety of high school and still do now, you know, at times. So the point is that what you're asking for by asking for all this time is not really going to get you anything. What you need to address is the deeper issues, the issues that he has with closeness and that you have with wanting to be overly close and over-dependent. So sometimes this can resolve very, very well. Now, the avoidant man, you're going to have a tough road getting him into individual therapy. I mean, he could go, but then once he's there, he's going to be talking about nothing except that you bother him. And you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So that's why I say get into couples counseling, where at least you know what's being discussed and it can be focused, hopefully, on creating a relationship that does not stress both of you out so much. You, because you feel you never get enough of him, and him, because he feels nothing is ever good enough for you, no amount of time, no amount of affection. And in your own individual work, then, you should be working on yourself and how did your family of origin impact you and lead you to be somebody who struggles with anxious attachment. You know, and what could you do instead when you feel triggered and you feel dysregulated besides texting him and calling him? Because he's not the only bad thing in your life. There's other things that are frustrating too. It's likely that parenting can be difficult. It's likely you have an ambivalent relationship with family of origin. It's likely that you struggle with self-esteem, right? Because things were not so easy for you always. So you're hoping that like you can use the relationship as somewhat of a medicine that can like make you feel better. But like, why don't we actually address more of the stuff underlying that makes you feel so anxious all the time and so much like you're dependent on another person? So you tend more toward codependent. He tends more toward pathologically independent. Neither is good. So I have podcasts you should listen to on interdependence, right? So anyway, I hope this was useful. As always, if you guys do need therapists or relationship coaches who work with individuals or couples, you reach out to my practice, Best Life Behavioral Health. But the point here is you got to be working on yourself too. So it can't just, yes, he's frustrating. Yes, he's difficult. Yes, he could be cold. Yes, you can't pin him down. That's why don't just ask for more time. More time for what? To be disappointed? To have a fight? Sometimes these women, you know, want the guy to come home early from work, right? And they have this thing in their head, oh, he's going to be early, so or just on time, right? Because usually he's late and whatever. And they're like, oh, this night's going to go well. This night's going to go well. This afternoon's going to go well. The literal minute he comes through the door, he's texting on his phone, and he goes immediately to exercise or something, and the whole night is fucked, right? So do you want that to happen? No, you already know how it happens. And you know the magic way to make him nicer is to have sex with him right then. But guess what happens to the women that know that and use that when their sex drive goes away or drops more in like about, you know, midlife, perimenopause, 40s. Guess what happens? They stop having sex. They're like, fuck you. My entire youth, I was like begging for you to hang out with me. And I was basically trying to use sex to get your attention. And you know what? I never felt good. I never felt like you cared about me. So now I'm just kind of done. I'm over it. And so that is what's in your future. So you want to fix it now. Because most women that identify as preoccupied attachment are my listeners that are under 40, under 45 for women. Unless they're single, then things like ramp back up. But if you've been disappointed in the same exact marriage for so long, then, you know, you usually don't feel preoccupied attachment anymore with the same avoidant guy. So the women that I'm addressing are probably, you know, 30s. That's a sweet spot. 20s this would apply to as well, except I don't think I have a lot of 20s listeners. But 30s, I know I do from my statistics. And so this is for you. Work on this stuff now before the resentment breeds so high that the whole thing, even the sex life, just completely goes away because you have so many empathic ruptures where you felt like he wasn't paying attention to you, wasn't giving you time, wasn't really connecting with you no matter how many hours you got with him. All right, I hope you guys enjoyed this, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.